good to be back here again with you all this evening. So I guess I didn't do too bad of a job last time. You had me back, so. But it is, it's good to be with you. And the members there at J said to tell you all hello. This evening, our text is going to be from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. And I think we'll just go ahead and read that before I begin the message. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, and when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of his bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely, with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. There was a preacher who was new in town, and he dropped off his suit at the dry cleaners. Later that week, he came back to pick up his suit, and the woman behind the counter said, that will be $10.50. Oh my, said the preacher, I only have $9. Would it be all right if I came back later with the rest? And she said, sure. Sure it will. I'll trust you for the dollar and a half. The preacher headed for the door. But then he thought. And he turned to the woman and said, I'm curious. You just told me that you would trust me for a dollar and a half. But what if I'd only had the dollar and a half? Would you trust me for the $9? Oh no, she replied. I couldn't have done that. So the preacher said, what you're really saying here is that you didn't really trust me, but you were willing to take a chance on me for a dollar and a half. Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham was a man of faith. 9 verses out of the 40 in Hebrews 11 are dedicated to Abraham and his faith. And Galatians 3 and 7 tells us that those of faith are the sons of Abraham. So God was telling us Abraham was a man of faith, and we want to be like him. But there were times in Abraham's life when he didn't get that far. There were times when he struggled with faith. Times when his faith in God was worth about a dollar and a half. And when that happened, Abraham ended up paying the price for the faith that he lacked, just like in our text today. A little background. When Abraham was 75 years old, God said, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Genesis 12 and 2. So God promised to make Abraham into a great nation. And that meant Abe had to have kids. Well, a few years later, Abraham says to God, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your own son will be your heir. Genesis 15, 2 and 4. God repeated his promise and told Abraham, you're going to have a son. And in response to the promise, we're told that Abraham believed the Lord that he'd have a son, and God continued it unto him as righteousness. Genesis 15, 6. So Abraham believed the Lord, and he now has $10.50 worth of faith. He was all in. He totally believed that God would do what he promised. He was going to have a son. Well, okay, let's fast forward a few years, and Abraham's getting older now. And he's begun to trim about $9 off that faith because his wife Sarah is tired of waiting for a child. Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. Genesis 16, 1 and 2. Now, why would Sarah suggest this? She's getting old, and the clock's ticking. And if something isn't done soon, she'll never have a son. She was worried about her age. This way, at least according to the traditions and morals of the day, Hagar would have the son and Sarah could call it hers. Now, I don't understand that. I just know that's how things worked back then. So to keep peace in the house, Abraham agrees and sleeps with Hagar, and she has a son named Ishmael. Now notice, Abraham never bothered to ask God if he approved of his plan. And if you remember, God already promised Abraham would have a son. God had made a promise, but God hadn't come through. So Abraham figured God needed a little help. That was his first mistake. Abraham's faith at this point wasn't worth about a buck and a half. But then, God made good on his promise. Sarah has a boy named Isaac, and there is rejoicing in Abraham's tent. The promise had been fulfilled, but now Abraham had a problem. He had a blended family. That's where a husband and wife have some of her kids, some of his kids, and they all live under one roof. You know, kind of like the Brady Bunch. Now, sometimes those blended families can work out real good, but not for Abraham. In Genesis 16, 4 through 6, we're told Hagar conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarah said to Abraham, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace." And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. "May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abraham said to Sarah, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarah dealt harshly with Hagar, and Hagar fled from her. Sarah is so harsh to Hagar that Hagar takes Ishmael and flees from Abraham's camp, thinking that even dying in the desert would be better than being mistreated by Sarah. But an angel of God appears to Hagar and convinces her to return to Abraham's tents. But even after that, things never got much better. We're told after Isaac was born, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, Ishmael, laughing. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac." Genesis 21, 9 and 10, we just read. Apparently, this word laughing carries the idea of mocking or scoffing at someone. Ishmael made the mistake and was mocking Isaac in front of Sarah. And that did not go very well. Hagar, Ishmael, had to look for a new home. Now the question is, why would God tell us this story? I mean, if we're God, I'd just focus on Isaac. Ishmael isn't that central to the story, and Isaac is like one of the stars of Genesis. In fact, most people know way more about Isaac than they do Ishmael. Most people focus on the promise of Isaac, but very few think about the problem of Ishmael. So why even bother telling us this part of the story? I can think of three reasons. This whole mess started when Abraham settled for a dollar and a half worth of faith. He knew God's promises. He just wasn't sure he could trust them. And so instead of waiting on God, he tried fixing the problem his way. There's a poem I once read that said this: "As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last I snatched them back and cried, 'How could you be so slow, my child?' he said. 'What could I do? You never did let go.'" That was Abraham. He knew the promise. He was going to have a son. But he tried to help God in ways that were his own to make that promise would come true. And it cost him. Someone once said, whatever you do in life, God will make it, make good for it, but not always the good he had prepared for you if you had trusted him. And that brings me to my second observation. My second observation is that God always works for the good of those who love him. That's what Romans 8:28 tells us. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You see, Abraham loved God, and Abraham was called by God. God wasn't concerned with the struggles Abraham had with his faith. God knew it would all work itself out because Abraham loved him. God worked with Abraham because he knew Abraham loved him. Now, going back to our story, Abraham did mess up. He created a problem in his family because he didn't fully trust God. But in Genesis 21, we read this. God said to Abraham, "Be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring." Genesis 21, 12, and 13. Now, did you catch that? Yes, Abraham, you messed up. And yes, it didn't have to be like this. But that's okay, because I can make things better. I can work for good of those who love me and who are called according to my purpose. Therefore, because I know you love me and because Ishmael is your offspring, I can even make his wife have value. His life have value. I will make a nation out of that boy. What that tells me is this. Even if I mess up, even if I make bad choices, even if I do something that damages some part of my life or to some member of my family, if I love God, God can fix that. God can give value and purpose even to that which I've harmed. My third observation is this. God can take my mistakes and messes and weave them into his message. Someone once noted that only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, and a trial into a triumph. And that's what God did with the lives of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. He took their lives with all the mistakes and messes they created, and he weaved them into his message of salvation. Galatians 4:22 through 27 tells us, it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman, Hagar, and one by a free woman, Sarah. But the son of the slave, Hagar, was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman, Sarah, was born through promise. Now, this may be interpreted but these women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children of for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." God used the conflict between Hagar and Sarah to teach us something. He used the conflict between Hagar, a woman who felt she deserved a place of honor, and Sarah, a woman who'd been promised that place of honor. And God used their conflict to point the contrast between those believed they deserved heaven because they kept the law. These folks were slaves to the law, hoping they'd be able to do enough good stuff to deserve or earn salvation. They were like Hagar and her children, and Sarah, who didn't deserve her child. She was too old to have kids. The only reason she could have had a child was because God had promised that she would. Isn't it funny how God made the promise to Abraham and Sarah, and he didn't come through with his promise in their thinking of time that he should have. God is patient. He was waiting for the right time. But they made their own plan, and that really, really messed things up for a while. Paul's point was this: you don't deserve heaven. If you think you do, you're like Hagar. You'll be a slave to the belief that you can actually do everything right. But if you realize that you had no business getting into heaven, but you relied on the promise about Jesus saving you, now you're like Sarah. Now you're a person of promise. All you need to do is believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Acknowledge that you've sinned and you need the change. Repent. Be willing to confess Jesus as your Lord and Master, and allow yourself to be buried in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's been a song selected as an invitation song, and if there's anybody that needs to come forward for any reason, please do so as we stand and sing.